Good evening, Federal Federationists, and thank you so much, President Rick Abono, for that kind introduction, also for the amazing intro song, What's Wrong With Being A Little Confident, indeed. I am delighted today to be speaking with someone that I'm sure most of you have heard of. Molly Burke was born with a rare degenerative eye disease, and at the age of 4, she was diagnosed, and she lost most of her vision by the time that she was a teenager. And Molly has been using YouTube to share her story and share a positive attitude and vision of blindness. So it's my pleasure and delight to be with Molly today. And before we get started, I'd love to provide full access. And I know that Molly is into fashion. I'm into fashion. So very quickly, I'm wearing a silvery shirt. I have short curly hair, caramel skin color, and bright lips, and a smoky eye going on, and long earrings. So good evening,
Mary,
Molly.
Wait a minute. What about your shoes? What about
you can't see them. But I'm wearing this gorgeous Michael Kors gold, really high heels. So Molly, thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Oh, thank you. You are rocking a way better outfit than I am right now, Mary. I feel like I'm being put to shame. Rock your Friday night look. I love it.
What are you wearing?
I'm literally wearing a hoodie and sweatpants. Because I'm living my best quarantine look, you know? I'm going for the quarantine vibe.
I'm into it. So, Molly, when we touched base earlier this week, I know that we spoke about how you got started in public speaking, and it happened when you were 5, and somebody gave you a mic, and you never stopped. So tell us a little bit about that, kind of what motivated you to get into YouTube, and what keeps you going now?
Yeah, so I was diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa when I was 4 years old, and my family was put in touch at that time with the Foundation Fighting Blindness, and they asked if I would speak at an event, and I was just this little 5-year-old, and you know, no idea what I was doing. It was just like, I was told to say this line, and I got up there, but the moment that mic hit my hand, I was like, this is my place in life. This is what I meant to do. And I begged my parents to put me into acting classes. I told them I was going to be an actress. And, you know, that became my dream growing up. I just loved performing. But when I lost the majority of my vision at 14, you know, I looked at the entertainment industry and I didn't see myself. And so I really believed that I had to give up on that dream. And luckily on my journey to recovery, I was able to kind of rebuild that dream and realize that I could still achieve the dream of working in the entertainment industry. I maybe just had to do it in a different way. And ultimately, the way I do it now is something that adds way more value and I believe has way more meaning than I would have had if I was just a sighted person trying to enter the entertainment industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love that because what we love about having you be part of the community is that authentic representation of blindness. And what's so appealing is that you're just living your life. And that's the thing that we really believe in the NFB is that we live the life that we want. And you're basically documenting that. So I wanted to ask you a bit about how you maintain that authentic Molly Burke, the person, and the Molly Burke, the brand, because you're a big deal and everyone knows you on YouTube. So how do you maintain those?
Oh, thank you so much. First off, you know, I think I made it easy on myself because my goal was always just to be myself, to be authentic, to share my real story, my real journey with people. So it takes away a lot of the pressure because I never really have to figure out who I'm supposed to be because I'm just being myself always. And, you know, sometimes the things that I think and the way that I feel doesn't make everybody happy, but that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to share my authentic self and hopefully make a positive impact through doing that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that, because I think that sometimes we feel that we have to put on this perfect life, this perfect thing that has to echo what everybody else thinks on social media. And the fact that you are maintaining who you really are is really important. I want to go back to something you said at the beginning around representation and how in pop culture and the media, you weren't seeing anyone like you. Why was it important for you to openly and clearly own your blindness on YouTube when you launched? And what message do you think that has given the world, and how does it continue to evolve?
You know, on my journey to recovery, you know, after going blind, I dealt with a lot of depression. I was suicidal. I was really badly bullied. And along that journey of recovery, I learned to stop viewing my blindness as a negative and to really view it as an asset and to realize that I could take this thing that society views as being negative about me and I can turn it into something positive. And so for me, when I started my channel, the goal was really to break down these like negative thoughts that society has about disability, because I was really born and raised in the medical model of disability, and thankfully had an incredible disability mentor who shifted my belief system to the social model of disability, which was the most empowering thing I could have found in that journey. And I really wanted to bring that perspective to society, because I feel like so much of able-bodied society only ever hears about the medical model of disability, that it's something we should fix, we should treat, we should cure, we should heal, we should change about people, instead of realizing it's something as a society we can embrace, we can see beauty in, we can see positives about, and we just need to simply make our environment more accommodating to all abilities. So I really wanted to show that. But at the same time, I was also really scared, because I knew that the only representation we did have, I believed, was very inauthentic to the true blind experience, or at least certainly did not represent my experience. And a lot of the negative stereotypes and misconceptions I was facing in everyday life was due to the inaccuracy of how I believe our community was being portrayed, the rare times that we were actually being seen in media. And so I really wanted to combat all of that, but I was so scared. I was so scared to share anything that made me seem blind. You know, I would edit out any moment where I wasn't looking straight at the camera, if I was looking a little bit off, or I would edit out any moment when I held up a product, but the label was backwards or upside down. Because I was like, oh, I'm going to look so stupid. And that's, you know, society already thinks of us that way, like we're incapable and we're so unaware. And eventually I realized that it was unfair to myself and it was unfair to our community to only show like a very perfect perspective of what it's like to be blind. And it also makes those things into negatives by not sharing them, but by showing it and just laughing at it and embracing it as just like a piece of who I am and something silly that happens, it takes the negative out of it.
And I think those instances are particularly important because, one, they just show that we are above all human and all humans make mistakes and we all do crazy things that look crazy all the time. But yet it's this ableist idea that like your story or who you are, one, represents all blind people, which it doesn't, but also B, that like if you make a mistake, it's attributed to your blindness, not to your humanity.
Exactly. And I completely agree with what you say. I cannot represent all blind people. I'm Molly and I'm blind and I've grown up really immersed in this community, but I can never properly accurately represent everybody, every voice, every lived experience of blindness. And I always try to make that really, really clear, because I know I do have a lot of able-bodied followers who are fully learning about blindness simply through my content. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure they understand that, you know, I cannot be looked to as the story of blindness. And I really encourage every blind person who is also as passionate about representation, about breaking barriers and misconceptions, who's as passionate about education as I am, to use their voice. And social media truly is an amazing platform to do so.
Yeah. And that's a perfect segue into what I want to touch next, which is social media and leveraging it to elevate our voices and to change perspective. So what advice or thoughts would you have to share with our NFB members? Many of us are activists. We're all activists that are here. And we all have intersecting identities and we're passionate about social justice and changing the world. So how do we best leverage social media and our stories to do that?
Yeah, so intersectionality is huge, right? We all identify as more than just being blind, but you might never meet another, you know, blind, Black, gay man, but they also do exist. And the internet is a great place to build those communities because you're reaching so far and wide. So you can find any little niche community, any weird passion or interest or hobby you have, you can find that on the internet and build a community around it. Mm-hmm. And I certainly never expected my community to grow as large as it has. It's been incredibly rewarding to see. But it really, truly, I believe, is the perfect space to do it. I started out purely traveling full time as a motivational speaker. And I ultimately realized, as much as I love performing on stages, as much as I enjoy going to events, I will never be able to reach as many people through that as need to hear my story, or as need to feel connected. And the internet is a space where 3 years later, you can still type that right combination of words and find a video that I made about a topic that you might be interested in or resonates with your journey. And that's what's been amazing, is seeing these people from all over the world reaching out saying, you know, that they're from a really small rural town in Chile and they don't know anybody else who's blind, and they now feel less alone and more connected to a community. And seeing all of my fans who follow me because they feel connected to my journey, becoming friends and building their own communities with each other. So it really is a very special place, the online community.
And if someone is trying to break into it, like, what advice would you give if someone is really trying to share their story?
You know, there's a lot of like practical advice that I can give. I don't know if that's helpful for people. The most practical advice I can give is that ultimately at the end of the day, you're feeding an algorithm. So if you're not going to be posting consistently, people aren't going to be fed your content through the algorithm. So just strategically, like, posting consistently is very important. But I would say building community, building connections. When I started on YouTube 6 years ago, there was literally less than 5 disabled creators, not blind creators, disabled creators, period. There was no community, there was no space. And you were competing against all of these very well-established communities. But even though one of us was in England and one was in Canada and one was in the US and we were super spread out, we connected with each other and we supported each other and we gave each other shout outs and we made our inroads. We reached out to social media conferences and we're like, hey, you should really have people talking about accessibility at your conference on the internet. And we just kind of band together and forged this path ahead. And it's incredible to see now how many people with all different types of disabilities are authentically sharing their journey and their story and their message, and making a full-time living doing so. It's really incredible.
Yeah, I love that. Molly, I wanted to go a little bit more into your philosophy about blindness. It's pretty clear that you're just living your life. But I wanted to ask you about, has there been a time or an instance, a specific example where you've seen that your message, your story has very specifically created a change in perhaps a place or a time or a space where it wouldn't have happened otherwise?
You know, I really for a long time felt like all I could talk about on social media, like my role on social media, was to like be the blind advocate and only ever talk about my blindness. And I got to a point where I realized I'm sitting here trying to tell people how normal I am, but all I'm talking about is the thing that makes me different from society. Mm-hmm. And I gave myself permission to like make content about makeup because I love makeup, and about fashion because I love fashion, and about all of these things where I didn't even need to say once in that video that I'm blind. And by allowing people to watch a 20-minute video where they forgot that I am blind, I was actually able to make potentially an even bigger impact on the way they view blindness and disability as a whole. And the amount of people who have reached out saying, you know, that they've either chosen to get into the field of working in disability, or who have created friendships with disabled people in their community because of seeing my videos and their mind being changed around what it really means to be disabled, has been incredible. Or people coming up to me saying like, you know, I didn't realize that my school had no Braille signage until you said it, and I went to my principal and now we have Braille signage everywhere. And things like that, which is just like, there's small differences to these individual people's lives, but I know that collectively, it will ultimately help create a larger change.
Great. And before we finish, I definitely want to touch on something that's very important, and that's all the negativity that we get online when we start sharing our stories, and the fact that like we're always going to make mistakes because we're documenting in a lot of ways our growth. Tell me, how have you found healthy ways of dealing with any negative feedback or criticism or trolling that has come your way? And what are some healthy methods or things that we can do in order to deal with those things.
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it. You know, when you go online, ultimately, the beauty of it is that anybody can access that information, but that also becomes the challenge is that anybody can access it. And, you know, the biggest thing that I faced when I started my channel was people believing that I was faking blind because I didn't fit this one stereotype that they had seen of blindness in Daredevil or in whatever kind of space that they had consumed content about blindness. But for me, I've always kind of, I've looked at that as a challenge. You know, I didn't let that tear me down and make me feel bad. I let it fuel my fire and push me forward and realize more ways in which my story is important and my voice does matter and more ways in which I needed to make a difference further still. And I really feel like it's the same way, you know, I was bullied from grade 1 to grade 12. I was bullied my whole way through school, but I let it tear me down a lot at first, but I eventually got to a place in my journey where instead of letting it tear me down, I let it push me to work more on myself, to learn to validate myself and not seek validation from others, to learn to love and be confident and happy within who I am and not live to impress other people. And it's really how I've approached my content. Like I said, not everyone's going to be happy. Not every blind person feels that I represent them, which is totally fair. Some blind people look at my content and feel like it resonates with them and their journey, but not all blind people. And I've had blind people say, you know, I feel like I don't like that you made this video because I don't feel like that's accurate. I'm like, you know what? It's totally fair that you feel that way. It's not accurate to your journey, but it is to mine. That was true for me. And that's why I made it. And so at the end of the day, I'm not even going to make everybody in this community happy, you know? But I need to just, you need to make content that you believe is correct, you believe is right, you believe is important, and let any of the negativity simply fuel you forward, move you forward in life.
Yeah, and you know, I'm one of those people that believes that if you're not offending somebody somewhere, you're probably doing something wrong. So that's just my personal thought, but also this idea of like, just figure out what it is that you stand for, figure out what your truth is, because our truth, our individual truths resonates with somebody somewhere. And that's what ultimately we're trying to do when we share our stories. Molly, we have about 2 minutes left. Are there any final thoughts or things that you want to share with us?
As I said earlier, we need as many voices as we can. And so I really do encourage people, if they've ever been interested or curious, give it a shot, post online, because it's an amazing community of people out there now. Like I said, it's grown so much further than what it was 6 years ago when I began. And just be yourself. It's scary. It's hard sometimes, but it is so rewarding. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to the community around me and the fact that I've been able to make a career out of this. I really believe that the fact that we can change people's perspectives, change people's lives, and build our own representation for ourselves and not wait for somebody else in Hollywood to see, mm-hmm. to see us and believe in us, how much more empowering can it get?
Yeah, and that's the beauty of the age that we live in. It's the curse and the beauty that we no longer have to wait for somebody else to tell our stories. We have so many tools and access to being able to spread it across the world on our own. So with that thought, thank you so much for your time. It's been amazing to get to know you this last week as we've prepared, and I'll be tuning in. And just a really quick anecdote. I didn't know about Molly Burke until I started personal training, and my trainer, she's like obsessed with you.
Okay, so all right, say hi.
I will. She was like, I need to show you this video. I'm like, oh, okay. Oh yeah, I've heard of Molly Burke. So that's how I found out about you. So it's been really great to get to know you. The real.
Thank you, Mary.
All right.
Job.
Thank you.